Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship with us, we are glad that you are here and have found your way to this worshiping community. A great way to learn about the ways we are church together is to check out your bulletin. There are calendars and announcements in there. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following this morning's worship. We are celebrating communion this morning, and the sacrament is open to all who wish to participate. Just a little reminder that if you have a gluten intolerance, there are little bags of gluten-free wafers located on each of the communion trays. A few other announcements this morning, Andrea.
Good morning. The Spiritual Journey Committee will be selling tickets today and the next two following Sundays after worship for the initial showing of the film I Am. It is a powerful thought and faith-provoking documentary you're not going to want to miss. The film invites us to travel along with a young man's close brush with death and his miraculous recovery as he asks wise sages and ordinary people two basic questions. What's wrong with our world, and how can we make it better? This is the first leg of the next journey entitled Connections.
Thank you, Carol Ann.
Good morning. I invite you to join the junior highs in celebrating Super Bowl. That is S-O-U-P-E-R, Super Bowl. They invite you to put a dollar or a can of soup into the soup pot as you leave. Many of you, I'm sure, did it as you came in, but you'll have another opportunity as you leave. The money goes to St. Joseph's. The food goes to Cameron. Also, I invite you to sign the prayer cards that are out in the foyer. We leave, 13 days, I think, from now to go to Jamaica, and we need your prayers, and if you'll sign the cards, we will give the cards to the kids, and really in the middle of Jamaica when you're transitioning into another culture, those prayer cards are really helpful. Thanks.
And now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our whole entire selves to worship God. Please stand as you are comfortable and able, and join together in the call to worship. Jesus invites us to meet him,
not in the world's cliches, but in God's wisdom.
In the faces of sorrow,
the comfort of the Holy One's embrace.
With those who hunger and thirst for justice,
the nourishment of the bread of life.
Lord, how shall we meet you?
With all whom you call blessed.
You'll notice that the prayer of confession response is left side, right side. So in case you're wondering whether that's my left and right or your left and right, it's your left and right. So that all you have to do is figure out which one is your left and which is your right. So let us come together, confessing our sins, knowing that we worship a God that forgives us over and over again. We have heard it said,
look after number one, get them before they get you. They're better to be safe than sorry. Let someone else's problems have to do with me. Only the strong survive. Pull yourself out by your bootstraps. Nothing is free. Money is the world around. Why wait?
May God forgive us when we, as Christ's own people, believe these words to be life-giving when Jesus teaches us a better way. Oh God, we ask that you hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen. God has called us and blesses us when we live God's ways and not the world's. God's love embraces us even when we fall short of what God desires for our lives and actions. May we know that the God of blessing loves and forgives us with a fierce tenderness. And in so knowing, may our lives and souls be transformed.
Time that, hello, good morning. If that didn't wake you up. At this time, the children are welcome to come forward. morning. How are you this morning? Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Come far away. Come forward. Come on. You'll want to sit closer so you can see the pictures this morning. I have a book to share with you. Our scripture reading this morning is Jesus, who tells us all about the ways that God is with us. And another word for that is blessed, that God is with us. And this is a really great story. Another word is called the Beatitudes. And this author shares about the ways that God's presence is with the African-American people. From slavery to the civil rights. Would you like to read this with me? Sure, come. You guys, can you guys see back there? It starts, "I am the Lord your God. I was with the Africans who were torn from the motherland and put in the holds of ships from Africa to the Americans. I heard them chant, 'Kumbaya.' I was with Richard Allen, Absalom Jones, and James Varick, who founded churches where African Americans could praise the Lord and shout, 'Hallelujah.' And God's voice said, 'I rang the church bells.' God was with Harriet Tubman when she fled slavery, and she led others out of bondage. And God was the star guiding them to the north. God was with the colored troops who fought to end slavery during the Civil War, and it was God who beat the drum for freedom. God was with Booker T. Washington and Mary McLeod Bethune, who built colleges and lit the way for young minds. God was the lamp. I was with Marian Andrews when she sang spirituals on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, and the Daughters of the American Revolution barred her from performing in concert halls. God was the microphone. I was with Rosa Parks when she was arrested for refusing to give up her seat to a white man on a Montgomery City bus. I was with citizens who walked rather than ride buses during the boycott. I was their shoes. I was on the freedom rides and at the lunch counter sit-ins. It was God who sat with the protesters. I was with Martin Luther King Jr. when he shared his dream of brotherhood, the March on Washington. And with peaceful protesters in Selma to Montgomery when he was beaten by police on an Alabama bridge. It was God who nursed the wounds." It's beautiful pictures in here, aren't there? "I was with 6-year-old Ruby Bridges when people heckled her as she entered school to become one of the first black students. I held her hand. I am with all of God's people, standing on the side of justice. Even now, I am with the downtrodden who seek to be uplifted. I am the holy water in the stream of humanity. Drink, bathe, and be free. God's presence is with us and through all people. And this morning we give thanks for that. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for always being with us. Amen. You may go to Sunday school. Thank you.
This morning's Old Testament reading comes from Micah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Listen for the word of the Lord. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam of my people. Remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saying, acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give him my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love and kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. May God lend his wisdom and light to his words.
Thank you. I would hazard a guess that the Beatitudes, the words the choir just so beautifully sang this morning, might just be some of the most familiar words from scriptures. We've heard them so many times before, and we let ourselves be carried off by their cadences and poetic beauty. Sometimes we just dismiss them altogether, overwhelmed by the perceived impracticability of living them out in the world today. In part, these reactions come from the isolated nature in which we hear or read this very first teaching from Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. We've seen them, carefully cross-stitched on a pillow resting on our grandmother's couch, or framed and hung on a hallway, reposted on a friend's Facebook page. Even read in worship, we adhere to those pesky numbers called chapters and verses, and we only read the 12 verses from chapter 5. This morning, as we listen to the text, I encourage you to hear them and experience them in a new way. In fact, I'm going to back us up a few verses and set the context. You're invited to close your eyes if you would like, whatever you need to do to imagine the scene the Gospel of Matthew describes. Listen now for the Word of God. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease, every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all of Syria. And they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics. And he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. And when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Friends, this is the word of God. It was just last week that we left Jesus seaside. with his brand new disciples. And from there they went throughout Galilee, sharing the good news of God's kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Obviously, it didn't take long for word to get out. People sought Jesus, and the crowds, they gathered. So on this Super Bowl Sunday, we might be inclined to imagine the crowds looking like Broncos and Seahawks fans who will be soon huddled in MetLife Stadium. Looking something like, oh, come on. Really? It's not going to let me do it today. Oh, well. You can imagine. See, they're right there. They're going to come back. They're going to look like this and this. Lots of folks have Super Bowl on the brain, and I'll tell you what, we can work with that. But let's take ourselves to a stadium that is a bit warmer, okay? And let's say the elevated place that Jesus and his disciples were looking down from was a press box. But to stay faithful to the context Matthew writes about, Jesus would look out and see something more like this. These are images taken in the Superdome following Hurricane Katrina in 2005. I know many from this congregation and from this presbytery traveled to New Orleans and the Gulf Coast region to assist in the rebuilding effort. Perhaps you haven't been to New Orleans, but you've been to Guatemala, to Jamaica, to rural Appalachia, or to downtown Rochester. Perhaps you've sat in the emergency department at Strong or Unity. Or you've walked the halls of a nursing home. You've heard the unmistakable click of the locks behind you entering the visiting room of a jail and seen the faces of those behind the tempered glass. You've been the one to hold the hand of a friend or family member who is frantically explaining that they don't feel safe, and thoughts of suicide and putting an end to the anxiety and the depression that has taken over their life becomes more and more real. You have been there. The crowds following Jesus and the disciples that day are walking or limping or being carried on the backs of those who love them. Poverty and illness, addiction and hopelessness have stripped these folks of their dignity. And I am pretty sure there is not one person on the hillside that afternoon in that crowd who would call themselves blessed. People with health and wealth and social status, they claim God's blessing, and they offer their performances of piety as evidence. And most of the rabbis in Jesus' day went along with this whole religious show. By implication or express declaration, those who were sick, poor, or marginalized were not blessed. They were cursed. And in the midst of their suffering, not only is human instinct telling them that the gods must not be pleased with them, the religious culture was teaching them, if you are ill, there must be some kind of skeleton in your closet. Even his own disciples, when they meet a blind man, ask Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? was always the assumption that they must be paying for something. After climbing the hillside with his brand new disciples, I can imagine Jesus sitting them down. And the backs of the disciples are to the crowd. These disciples are looking at Jesus, enamored with whatever he's going to say next. And Jesus looks over their heads and out at the crowd. Jesus sees all those who are suffering, not only from every sort of disease, but also from that deep suspicion that God does not like them, and that God is making that apparent in their twisted bodies and disordered thoughts. So before Jesus begins to speak, he indicates to his disciples, turn around. He wants them to see what he sees. And they look out at all of the people and attempt to take in the enormous amount of suffering. And with a quiet, unassuming tone, Jesus interrupts the silence. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And without taking his eyes off the crowd, he continues, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Only now, moving to stand in front of his disciples, Jesus says to them, and blessed are you when you are reviled and you are persecuted and utter all kinds of things, all evil is uttered against you falsely on my account. Blessed are you to see and to name the world as God sees it. Because to do so is incongruent with cultural assumptions. People will judge you. They will tell you that you're irrational and you are absurd. They will tell you you are out of touch with reality and you have no idea what you're talking about. They will challenge you to prove how in the world these folks are blessed. Because we know some of the same basic facts of living in this world the disciples of Jesus knew. That the rich are blessed, the happy are blessed, the powerful are blessed, the ambitious, the successful, the privileged, they are blessed. After all, the blessed get a diamond-encrusted ring, a trophy, and a multi-million-dollar sports endorsement. We might as well swap out the word blessed and replace it with happy or lucky or fortunate, and it would make more sense. Now, while the definition of the word blessed has a wide range in both Greek and English, none of them seem to touch on what Jesus is encouraging his disciples and us to see for ourselves. That to be blessed is contrary to all the pseudo-Christian, pseudo-therapeutic preachings of these verses over the years that offer a great recipe for success or the keys to happiness or another religious word for lucky. Jesus is offering us an understanding that to be blessed is God's unconditional presence in our lives. To be blessed is to experience once again a God who regularly and relentlessly shows up where we least expect God to. Jesus invites his disciples and each of us to look out at the crowd and not only see them, but see ourselves. To see that it is precisely in our moments of disappointment and despair that we are likely to abandon cultural stereotypes about blessing and be open to the presence of God that gives without asking in return. One author says that to be human is to be broken. And it is when we meet ourselves in the brokenness and the vulnerability that we experience the power and presence of God, mediated through Christian community. Friends, as we draw together in this place, around this table, in our homes and at school and in our places of work, as we gather in soup kitchens and hospitals, in jails and nursing homes, we do so as the family of God. And it's in these places that we see each other as blessed, as God's beloved children, meeting each other at these places of brokenness and conveying to each other our and God's promises of regard and presence, accompaniment, and above all, worth. We are worthy of blessing, for God Almighty has created us, all of us, and called us blessed.
Thank you.
Friends, Jesus knew that it would be much more difficult to follow him than to just understand what he was saying. So he gathered his friends around a table to hear the story, and then to be filled with the courage that it takes to be part of that story. And he still gathers his friends around a table to be strengthened for the journey, not to fill our minds with the right answers, but to fill our bodies with the same love that he carried in his body, so that we might love with our whole strength and our whole being, our whole mind, and our whole heart. Friends, this is a table for those who know a lot and those who don't know much of anything. Those who love fully and those who long to be loved. Those who come regularly to this table and those who still are seeking. This table does not belong to the Presbyterian Church. It belongs to God. And it is God who invites us all to share in this feast of love and life. May the Lord of blessings be with you.
And also you.
People of God, open your hearts.
We offer them to the God who transforms us.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Reflecting God's joy in your
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, for blessed are you, Lord our God, ruler of the universe. You have created something out of nothing. You have called a people to inhabit your kingdom and have filled the earth with good things. You have offered us your very life that we might live with you. And so we give you thanks, for your blessedness spills over and blesses us. Holy, holy, holy are you, God of all blessings. All creation rejoices in your saving acts. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one whose weakness is our strength. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, God, and blessed is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our life. Glorified is your Son. Jesus came to reveal your kingdom, teaching us about your love. He filled the hungry, comforted those who mourn, and welcomed all those on the margins of the world at his table, refusing to let persecution, sin, and death have the final word. He went to the grave. As we seek to comprehend his life, as we are transformed by his grace, we speak of that mystery we call faith.
Christ died,
humbling himself on the cross. Christ rose and filled with your righteousness. Christ will come, blessing us forever.
As we come to this table, celebrating again the feast of your victory over death, remind us that suffering does not have the last word. Where there is pain or illness, may your healing presence abound. Where there is despair or hatred, may your love be visible. Where there is violence or distrust, may your life be a beacon of hope. Bring peace to your world, O God. Here there is bread and wine, simple gifts offering for a simple cause. Fill us with your bread of life, Lord, that we may be blessings in this world. Give us courage to live lives worthy of our calling, nourished by your very being. Make us again into your body, loving, serving, and caring for the world. Amen.
We give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, gathered his friends around a similar table on the night before he gave himself to the authorities for his death. And so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took the common bread and made it holy. just as he takes us, common people, and makes us holy. To remember, he asks us to repeat this act again and again. And he did so, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat, and do this in remembrance of me."
And in the same way, he took the wine and poured it in his cup. And he said, "Drink. This is a sign of the new covenant. Drink, remembering me."
We break the bread and we drink from the cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promises of new life and faith to hope anew each and every day. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate together. Friends, this is the body of Christ, broken for us. Taste the new promises of grace.
Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Drink, remembering me."
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for making this no ordinary meal. It has been one in which we have been fed and nourished with your life and love. May we go from here refreshed and eager to be blessings to others in this world. Amen.
We invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern.
I have two prayers of concerns. One, my English teacher's cousin died in a fatal car crash a couple days ago. And the other, my good friend Seamus was involved in a ski accident on last Thursday when we were skiing together, and he ended up breaking a couple ribs, puncturing his liver, and he has internal damage, and he's in the hospital right now. So prayers.
Prayers for him.
Allison Tuttle, I have really good news. My mom has recently found out on Friday that she will not be needing chemotherapy. So, but she still needs another surgery, and she's still going on this road, but she will not need chemo, and it's very, very happy news. So, continued prayers for her and our family. Thank you so much.
Thanks be to God.
Hi, I just like to say thanks to this wonderful church family for all the prayers that came my way during my recent surgery. Thank you.
Good to see you here.
J.C. Wuchon, I would like to ask prayers for the family of a former coworker and friend of over 25 years, Mark Water, who on Monday, hours after sending an email to remind coworkers of an upcoming volleyball tournament, also of a monthly gathering of former Kodak workers, collapsed on a volleyball court on Monday night and died shortly thereafter. Again, prayers for his family.
Prayers. Andrea Unson, prayers for a friend who was recently diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Prayers for them.
We also ask for prayers for Direct Crosdell and... Sorry, little...
That's okay.
I keep trying. I guess I'm so short they can't see my hand.
For Direct Crosdell and her family, her father died this early this morning.
Please pray for the family of the young golfer who died this week. She is the niece of a dear friend of mine and was a lovely person.
And also prayers from our children this morning, in case another hand is up here. Prayers of thanksgiving for feeling better, and prayers of thanksgiving also that a grandfather can take his neck brace off. Prayers for all those who aren't feeling well in our congregation and our friends. Prayers for a great Super Bowl game. We won't do any teams. Prayers for a new kid in class. Prayers for all of our friends, for new ones and also ones who've been around for a long time. Friends of thanksgiving for God who watches over a cat that died. Prayers for Aaliyah's grandpa, a friend of Aaliyah's grandpa. And prayers for joyful productions of Singing in the Rain and sporting events. And for a best friend who had a joy. That's all it says.
Let us pray. God of the universe, we have met you at the table and we long to take the strength that we have received to the streets of your world. Guide us, lead us, and sustain us as we reach beyond what is comfortable, for we yearn to embrace the sacred promises that you have given to us. Your blessings are indeed our greatest joy. Today, as we enjoy the foods and fun of the Super Bowl, remind us that there are many who yearn for a bowl of soup. We give you thanks for our own junior highs, who have focused our attention today on the hungry of our city. We pray for those who will receive our gifts of soup and for the staff of St. Joseph's and Cameron Community Ministries. Help us to remember that in this nation of plenty, there are plenty who go to bed hungry. Open our hearts to their pain and our minds to their needs, Use our hands to help and our mouths for advocacy. And we pray for those in our lives going through times of turmoil and crisis. We pray for those who are caretakers, for those who await medical results, and for those who grieve. This morning, we lift up to you Dorette Crosdell and her family as they grieve the loss of Dorette's father. Show us ways in which we can be vehicles of compassion to all of your people. Hear us now as together we pray the prayer our Lord taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us bring our gifts forward.
Heavenly Father, please receive these gifts of our tithes and of our offerings and a small token of the abundance that you give to us. Let it be used in your service to spread your good word throughout the world and this troubling planet. All this we pray in the name of your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
For our closing hymn this morning, we are going to sing verses 1, 4, and 5. So 1, 4, and 5.
go. We go out into the world seeing what God sees, experiencing the world that God has created. So go. Go with the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit to get up and do it again. Amen.
Thank you. I don't know about that.